Okay. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I told you we were going to study Psalm 1 and 2. And that's what we're going to do for the next couple of weeks. Why did I choose those? When we run out of the subject that we're on, I really pray about what to do next. I try not to let myself interfere with what I think God wants us to study and learn. And this Psalm 1 and 2 just kept coming to mind. This is meat for the season. Let me say that. These two Psalms, really, Psalm 1 introduces the way of the righteous and the way of the unrighteous. And why is that so important? Well, if you look around today in our world, the things that are going on, I mean, it is an enormous division. Used to, back Roman Empire days, it took weeks to communicate what was going on from one part of the world to another in Roman. It took weeks to do that. But today, it's instantaneous. I mean, you can sit in your chair in your living room and watch a war go on in live viewing. Today's world is totally different. And that also brings out not only the good aspects of the technology that we have, but it brings out the bad aspects of it well. We get to see all the evil, all of the bad things that are going on, the horrible issues in real time. And that's what's bad about it. We get to see the unrighteous and their behavior. Today, and we get to see the stuff that used to be hidden. It's not hidden anymore. It's put out. Young kids can sit and watch stuff that they shouldn't even know about. As Paul says, there's certain things that you shouldn't even talk about. But yet, it's out in the wide open spaces nowadays. And that's wrong. So, Psalm 1 really is the foundation and leading up to Psalm 2. Y'all know about Psalm 2. I've read it in here many, many times. And I read it many, many more times during the time between Sunday school classes. This is one of my favorite Psalms because it brings out the power and the righteous and the judgment of God upon this world, which is His creation, which mankind is trying its best to destroy again. But Psalm 1 brings out the difference between the unrighteous and the righteous. And the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to read the six verses that compose Psalm 1. I'm going to read all of them. And then we're going to go back and study them verse by verse. Is the way I want to do this, so I think we'll get more out of it that way. So, Psalm 1, let's read all six verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God says that mankind that does not do these three things here is blessed. Now we'll get into the details of what that word really means here in a few minutes. But he says there's certain things that a good man, a righteous man, does not do. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. A righteous man keeps his mind on the things of God. He keeps his mind on the Word of God. He keeps his mind on what God wants in his life. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. All of you been around in the woods and stuff, and the greatest tree growth, the strongest tree growth, is always by a stream or by a pond. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When you get a drought like we've just had through here, you take a look at the foliage around you, and most of it's dying if a tree's sitting out in the field. But the ones that are by a creek or a river or a pond don't wither like that. They have a source that keeps them strong. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You've got to be sure to pick up the last part of that sentence. That's the key to it here. The ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. So there's going to be a difference in judgment, a difference in time, and a difference in the way that it's done for the righteous and the unrighteous. Excuse me. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, we watch the things going on today in our country, and we see so much unrighteousness like it never has been in this nation before. And we just wonder, God, how long are you going to put up with this? I mean, when are you going to do something about this? We see it every day. I tell Bonnie probably on a daily basis, God has got a lot more patience than I got. Because I would have already laid the hammer on somebody long time ago. Now that's Psalm 1, 6 verses. Now what I want to do is, I want to go into detail of each verse so that we have a full understanding of what God is saying here about the unrighteous and the righteous and the difference. You know, I'm going to bring out some things. I'm not going to do that in advance. I made some notes here. Psalm 1, the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. Verse 6 presents the key to understanding this psalm. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's the wind-up of verse 6. No, excuse me. Let me get a drink of water here. That's the key to these verses that we just read. Let's take it verse by verse. The way of the righteous is the righteous. What the righteous man does not do. Now notice God is saying the righteous man is not going to do this. So when we read this, judge your life, what you're not doing and what you are doing. I'm going to read the verse again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, we have this idea going around today, and it's being preached, it's being taught. Our legislative body is saying this, is saying, listen, everybody has to be happy with everybody. Everybody needs to get together and join together and do everything together, okay? That there's not to be any distinctive difference between us. Well, I got news for you. That's not what the Bible says. All right? This man here is the righteous man. He's a blessed man. And he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't seek out people to join together with who have ungodly counsel. Now, can you imagine as a Christian, and all of you have been in this situation, I have too. Well, you're trying to grow spiritually, you're studying the Bible, you're trying to change your life from what it was, and then to go out here and get involved with a group of ungodly people. All they do is drag you down. It's not that you're better than them, which is what the people today, the politicians, are getting up saying, well, let me tell you something. You've got to be just like these other people. We have one man running for president right now. He made a statement this week. He said, I'll tell you one thing. When I become president, I'm going to cut off all the IRS benefits to all the churches unless they accept all the gay culture. Now, this man's running for president, okay? He is saying right here that you have to get in with the culture of the ungodly here. Blessed translates the Hebrew word Esher, E-S-H-E-R. That's the Hebrew word for blessed. So many people in our English translations, in our English understanding of the word blessed, think about this. I won the lottery last week. Man, I've been blessed, okay? That's not what this is talking about. He says here, Esther comes from the Hebrew word Asher, which at the root means to be straight or to be right. So blessed in Hebrew means to be straight with God, to be right with God, on the path of God, and being honest with your life with God and not trying to hide anything. That's what that word blessed means. It has nothing to do with how much money you got, how much prestige you got, or wherever you are in society, whether you're a president or whether you're a street sweeper. That has nothing to do with that whatsoever in the Hebrew word blessed. Blessed is the man. It speaks of happiness, blessedness, contentment, the life of the man and the woman who is straight with God. Now, that's what that means. They interviewed an elderly janitor of a school not long ago. And I watched this interview. It was very interesting. He's up, very old, about ready to retire. He's an old colored man. And about ready to retire. And they were asking him about his life. He said, I'm very happy. I'm content with being the janitor of the school. He worked there 40-something years. And he said, I'm very happy and content with that. And the interviewer says, how can you be that way? He said, you're the lowest guy on the totem pole here. He said, you know what, in society I may be, but with God I'm not. He said, my happiness and blessedness comes from God. He said, I'm supposed to be a janitor, so I try to be a good janitor. I try to please God every day. At the end of the day, I go home and I'm happy and I feel blessed. Now, that's what the word blessed in Hebrew means. He's happy and content with that job. You know, he says he feels like that's where God put him. So, whatever you're doing, you can be happy and blessed if you are content and in the will of God here. The righteous man is a blessed man and a happy person here. Blessedness is also attainable by the poor. Now, I'm going to read you something here that Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, evangelist of the 19th century, he said this in one of his services. I'm going to read a quote from his service. Excuse me. This blessedness is as attainable by the poor, the forgotten, and the obscure as it is by those whose names are figures in history and are trumpeted by fame. Charles Spurgeon said, it doesn't matter what status you are in the world. You can be a king. You can be a floor sweeper. You can be whatever. It doesn't matter. You can still have the happiness and the blessedness that God gives people if you are, as the word says, in straight with God, in tune with Him, and being truthful and honest about your life. So many people try to hide their lives. But that's what real happiness is all about. Walks not, or stands not, or sits not in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't do those things. He will not, the person that's right with God will stay out of those things. I mean, all of us during our lifetime, as you get older and grow, you have an opportunity maybe to join with certain groups and certain society things. I'm not going to get into details. But if you're a Christian growing in grace and knowledge, you will say no, excuse me, to those things. Now, the other thing that a righteous man will not do is he will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what does that mean? That means to go with them, to be in there with them. Discern the counsel of the ungodly. If you're a Christian and you're studying your Bible, you have enough knowledge to know when not to get into a counsel or a group of people who are not godly, who are not seeking God's will, who are doing things that are contrary to His Word. A righteous man will not get involved in those type of things, and they're all around. There's all kinds of them. Just take and pick whatever you want. So, anyway, that is the choice that a righteous man has to make. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly here. Again, I want to read you something here from Psalm 119, verse 24. It says, "Your testimonies are so of my delight and my counselors." Again, you seek the counsel from God. You seek His grouping of people. Just like we're all here. We're here this morning because of a common cause. We're Christians. We came here, you got up this morning, you went through the exercise of getting dressed, driving here, you went through some effort to get here. Why? Because you want to learn more about God's ways. This is our council meeting here every Sunday morning. I look forward to it. We share God's Word. We learn from God's Word. And that's what it's all about. That's what the effort is all for here. That's what Psalm 119 says. Your counsels and your are my delight. Your Word is my delight. Now, the truth of God's Word should be your delightful things. There are many things that make people happy and honorable about their lifestyle, but God's Word should be the main thing here about that. Nor stands in the path of sinners. There is a path in life that everybody has to take and choose. You reach that path sometime in your lifetime, different ages for different people. I can remember mine, 25 years old, and I had to make a decision at that point of which path was I going to go? Was I going to keep going the path I've been going? Or was I going to change my path and go God's way? And I had to make a choice. I can remember making that choice very, 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 very important day of my life. I never have forgotten it there. Stands in the path of sinners. It's a road. The path here in Hebrew speaks of a road or a direction that you're going. Every one of us, everybody in here, everybody who hears my voice wherever around the world, has reached a point in their life where they have to make a decision of which route they're going to go in their life. We all reach it, and we have to make that decision. Either going to go God's way, the straight way, and be blessed, or go the world's way and take your licks and your beatings and lose out on the great life that God really did have you born for. That's what it's all about. The righteous man is not afraid to take a lesser traveled road. The majority of the world is going down the path toward destruction. There's something here in Matthew I want to read to you that Jesus said. Enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. The road to destruction is big and wide, and the majority of the world is going to go down that path. and there are many who go in by it. Matthew 7:13. The Pope not long ago made this statement. Catholic Pope. He said, well, we all really are not different in the world. He said, we're all wanting to go to heaven. And he said, there's just a bunch of different roads that get there. So we need to all be happy with each other. And whatever's being taught is okay. Because everybody's going to get there eventually. You're just going to go a different route. Well, he needs to go back and study his Bible. Because that's not what God says. God says narrow is the road that the righteous man takes and gets to heaven, and broad is the rest of it that leads to destruction. So the Pope needs to do a little studying before he makes these statements here. In Psalm 16:11, let me read this to you. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
So God here says in the Psalms, he said, listen, if I seek your way, you will lead me down the right path. And if I don't seek your way, I will go down another path, and which will be destruction for me. But the other one leads to pleasures and happiness. You know, the most happy people that I meet, I meet all kinds of people every week. I get phone calls from people from all statuses of life. I get people that walk in here, and a man walked in here to the front door a couple weeks ago. Sat back there in the back pew with him, bawling, crying. Carolyn came, got me. She said, this guy's got to talk to somebody. So I went down there and I sat down and talked with him. And he said, you know what? I'm a Christian. He was sitting there. Hadn't had a bath 2 or 3 days. Shaved, long beard. You know, just terrible shape. And he said, I'm a Christian. But he said, I got away from my faith years ago. And he said, look where I have wound up. You know, and he said, I've met a girl I love so dearly. And he said, I just know she's right for me, but she won't have anything to do with me. I said, well, I'll give you a little advice. Go get a shower, some clean clothes, shave that beard, and look like something decent. And she might talk to you. He said, you know, that might help, wouldn't it? I said, yeah, go try it. But anyway, we got to talk about his path of life that he had taken. And, you know, it's just led to his destruction. I said, you're not on the right path. You're not on the straight path. I'm just going to be honest with you. He said, well, that's what I needed. So, Bennett. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The size of the New Jerusalem, which we studied in detail, is immense. But I'm going to tell you right now, the jaws of hell are a lot bigger. And it's going to take most of the people there. I hate to say that.
Carl?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll make a comment. Both my children went off to college a long time ago. And neither one of them went to church the whole time they were in the university. And Wade, my oldest son, went to a lot of meetings. He finally got his
degree. Well, that's it. Yeah. Well, he's being a good testimony to him. I'm sure you've had a lot of influence on him, and that's great.
I know.
Well, that's great, Rainey. That's wonderful. So things like that, you know, you never know what you're instilling in somebody that later on in life, how it will change their life. That's great. Yeah. Yeah, college is not the best place to get a religious education. Let's put it that way. Okay. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. What does a scornful mean? The word scornful means this. It means, as one man, he gave the definition of this, and I don't think I can do it any better, so I'm going to read his definition of the scornful. This is what a righteous man does not do. The scornful love to sit and criticize the people of God and the things of God. Now, you talk about scornful people. Boy, have we ever got them today. Out in the forefront, on the news media, in the interviews, making fun of Christians, making fun of the Bible, making fun of Jesus. And it just goes on and on and on. These sitcom shows, I think is what I'm going to use a strong word, but the reason I do is because I really feel this way. I hate them. I don't dislike them. I hate them. They make fun of everything decent. They make fun of life. They make fun of people. They make fun of God's Word. It's a big joke to them. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't dislike that stuff. I hate it. I really do. I think about every time that stuff comes on. I don't watch it. I can't stand it. But when it does come on and stuff like that, I'm telling you right now, I don't know how God withholds His wrath. But he does. Here. To be out and out for him. Yes. Go ahead, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Comment on that, what I just said. Every season it gets worse and worse. It absolutely does. You know, you think it can't get any worse, and then it does. It just keeps on getting worse. I don't know how long God's going to hold off his wrath, but, you know, he's God. He knows when his timing is. But, like I say, he's got more patience than I got. So, we need to pray for our country. I'm telling you. God has never allowed in all of history. There's some of you in here that study history. I love history. You know what my definition of history is, it shows the failings of mankind. That's exactly what history shows. As we go down through history, we haven't gotten better. You know, everybody says, oh, well, look at the Roman Empire. Well, look at it. Take a look at it. We're doing the same thing the Roman Empire did, or worse. So history is a repeat of man's failures. And we need to look back at it and see what man did there to cause the failure, to get us to where we are today. And we're failing again, even worse. We're using all of our new technology and everything else, some for good, but a large portion of it for evil. So, you know, that's just the way the world is, and that's the way it's headed. And according to this scripture here that I read, it's going to get worse. Let me read you something here that Charles Spurgeon, I love that guy. If you read his sermons, he lived in the latter 1800s, early 1900s. And at that time, he was the most powerful speaker in the world for Christianity. And I love his sermons. A man of deep thought. Let me read something that he said in one of his sermons. Be out and out for him. Unfurl your colors. Never hide them, but nail them to the mask. And say to all who ridicule the saints, if you have any ill words for the followers of Christ, pour them out upon me. But know this, ye shall hear it whether you like it or not. I love Christ. Now that's the way we should be. And you see these people, these commentators interviewing these people who are anti-Christian, making fun of God, making fun of Christ, making fun of this Bible. You know, we should be just like Charles Spurgeon. I love you. If you got anything to say, say it to me. But I'm going to refute you with God's word, because I love him. And that's what we should be doing. But you know what's happening? The news media is letting these people get on. And if you get on as a Christian, they ridicule you. They make fun of you. You know, they run Christ down, on and on and on. Russia had a cartoon in one of their newspapers a while back where they had one of their big Russian guerrilla type guys. He had a wheelbarrow. And in the wheelbarrow, it had Jesus Christ in the wheelbarrow. And he was headed toward the city dump to dump Christ out in the city dump. That was one of their cartoons in their newspaper. This is the kind of stuff that's going on. I mean, you can read all kind of articles. These Hollywood stars get out. And they start talking about their religion, Scientology and Satanism and Wiccans and on and on and on. But when it comes to Christianity, they ridicule, make fun, joke about, you know. So go ahead, your day's coming. anyway, what does a righteous man do? Now, these are the things that I'm going to stop there because, for time's sake, I want to get into a different subject. These are the things that a righteous man does not do. Next Sunday, we're going to get into what does a righteous man do. Well, if he doesn't do that, there's something he should be doing. Yes, there are. And God gives us the directions on those things. So I'm going to save them. I'm going to save them for next week. What does a righteous man do? We have any questions this morning? I know this has been a little bit different of a Bible study, but I want to do this verse by verse because it brings out the details in our lives as we should be living them every day or not living them every day. Anybody have anything? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for this deep study of your word that tells us what we as Christians should not be doing, Lord. Pay attention to what's going on around us. Be sure we don't fall into these pits that the rest of the world is falling for, Lord, and that we may always exalt you in our lives in every way, in every aspect of it, Lord. So be with us all this week. Help us, lead us, guide us, and direct us in promoting your will and your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Well, y'all have a great week and call me if you need me.